I've been trying to figure that out for months now.
We've seen you, staggering out of the work week. But now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Everybody, this is Widget Walls, and you're listening to a needcoffee.com podcast. This is the Weekend Justice, or what's left of it. We'll get to that in a second. Let's see who we've got on the line with us this week as part of the Weekend Justice League. We have got, of course, Scott C., our Minister of Naughty Bits. Howdy, Scott.
Hi there.
Scott is here. We've got Rob on the line as well, our Music Minister, who is not currently building furniture or whatever it is that Tuffley's doing as a euphemism. What's up, Rob?
Not much, sir.
And Doc is on the line as well.
Barely.
Yes, Doc and I are both recovered. This is the plague edition of Weekend Justice. Doc and I are both recovering from flu-pocalypse. Uncle Warren said it was coming, and we believed him, but we got it anyway. So I'm sucking on about two Hall's cough drops. I've got the menthol action that's stirring my brain, so I might say something even odd even from me at times. And
oh, dear.
Yes. So, and, you know, Doc may cough and blow us all out of the water. So watch your levels, people. Anyway, so we're recording this Tuesday night, and we would be remiss if we didn't mention the passing of Gygax. Right, Doc?
Very remiss, yes.
So tell us,
Godfather of the gaming world.
Yeah, I mean, for our three listeners who might not be as paleo gaming centralized as yourself. I mean, I know who Gygax is, and I probably don't even appreciate fully what it means. So, can you take us through what it means?
Oh, well, the short version, and I guess the most basic version, is that he and a guy named Dave Arneson pretty much invented the role-playing game hobby in Gygax's or Arneson's basement. I can't remember whose basement it started in. Wrote Dungeons & Dragons, which, of course, you know, gave solace to 12-year-old and 13-year-old virgins the world over for going on 40 years now. And, pretty much the hobby probably wouldn't exist at all, certainly wouldn't exist in the form it does today, without his input and influence. And the hobby sites and the various companies' message boards and all that today.
Try the internet in general.
Yeah, the whole place was just swarming with saddened geeks. I did find one of the cooler moments in all the sort of eulogizing and memorializing that went on in a place called site called the EnWorld, EnWorld.org, that's been sort of the go-to place for D&D stories and news and articles and reviews and all that kind of stuff for some time now. They started a thread on the subject, and somebody said, hey, wouldn't it be cool? There's a new edition of the rules coming. later this year, wouldn't it be awesome if they, you know, put a little dedication or something to Gary in light of this happening? 20 minutes later, the Wizards of the Coast brand manager for D&D showed up in the thread and made a one-word post that said, done, and left. So I thought that was pretty cool. He hasn't had any sort of direct employment or involvement with the game in quite some time, but that they recognize his contribution enough that they're going to probably have to stop some presses or at least delay a little bit, because the game's due out in just a few months. And anything with that big a print run's got to have a pretty long lead time on it, I would think.
Well, could you imagine the reaction if there wasn't one?
Well, you know, I mean, there's... It was kind of a, wouldn't it be nice, but it's out soon enough. Everybody kind of in the thread already understood that would be kind of a long shot. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool on their part. And the fact that they actually, you know, stepped in to make the statement in a fan message site, you know, this isn't like an official company policy or anything. This is just some fan website, fan-run website. Where this guy made sure to stick his head in and say, yeah, we got it covered. I thought that was pretty slick.
So had he been sick, or is this completely unexpected?
He'd had his share of health problems. I confess I couldn't really talk to the specifics of them.
Yeah.
But he had been ill off and on, and he was a guest at Gen Con last year, and some people in some of the discussions today said when they saw him at the convention, he didn't look like he was doing too well. But I don't know specifically what the issue might have been. Very sad day for the geeks. And strangely enough, it's actually an unofficial industry holiday today. A few years back, some of the publishing companies got together and to basically recognize the players, actually specifically to recognize the game masters of the world. They declared today Dungeon Master Day, where they do like product discounts and all this kind of stuff, and they encourage players to buy, you know, here, buy something for your DM who runs the game every week and does all the prep work, you know. So yeah, Gygax died on DM's Day, which was kind of an odd. Odd but appropriate coincidence, I thought.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm considering some of the GMs I've been with, I'm not buying them shit. They were bastards.
If all the DMs seem problematic, Scott, perhaps they're not the problem.
Hey. Although I did read one of the best comments about this was somebody said, you know, all the geeks out there need to contribute to make the most elaborate trap-built tomb for Gary Gygax.
Oh, now see, that would be awesome.
Turn it into a massive... Of course, you'd have to figure out what the threat level would be.
I think that would be somebody needs to design him a mausoleum that's, you know, 100 feet underground and filled with monsters. That would be excellent.
You know, actually, one thing I was thinking about with all this is Gygax, in a way, is partially responsible, I think, for keeping a lot of Tolkien going.
Definitely a lot of overlap there, I'd say.
Well, I mean, how many people do you think would have looked at The Hobbit and the rest if it wasn't for Dungeons and Dragons, or vice versa?
I think the vice versa is a much stronger case. I mean, I'm a big fan of Gygax. I had the chance to talk to him a couple of times. He's a very cool guy. But the hobby is a small enough niche. I don't think we can attribute it with a whole lot of play on how many people bought Tolkien books. Though the thing that I definitely can and will point to is any of the 10 million people mucking around with World of Warcraft or that, you know, mess around with any of 100 other games like it on consoles or PCs wouldn't be doing what they were doing if Gygax hadn't decided he was tired of playing historical minis games.
Oh, yeah.
I just know that at some point while you're plundering the tomb, you need to be... There's a chance to be crushed by thousands and thousands of unbought copies of the Of Mazes and Monsters special edition starring Tom Hanks.
No, you need to be crushed by thousands and thousands of copies of the Dungeons & Dragons movie.
Either would work. We're going to need more than one trap, guys.
Yeah, that's true.
I saw that in the theater.
Why?
Well, we were all in a group,
I did
and
too,
we thought it was fun, and we had rum with
involved.
Us. We had rum with us, and we found out that that didn't help.
Yeah.
Alcohol did not help.
You're blaming the failure on the wrong problem. It isn't that rum doesn't help. You just didn't have enough.
Yeah, I would have to say that. Would be, yeah.
The thing is, we thought about it, and it's like, if we had enough, we'd be, like, dead.
No, I am here to tell you, you can survive that much rum. Because I saw it in the theater, too.
Oh, wow.
With that much rum.
And a lot of rum and a fair amount of whiskey and several beers. And, yeah, it was... I won't say it was high cinema or anything, but I laughed.
About the only thing that's impressive about the D&D movie is the fact that the Wayans brother involved was actually flying back and forth to shoot that at the same time that he was shooting Requiem for a Dream. So the fact that he was going to make high cinema at the same time that he was making crap cinema.
Wow. Yeah.
So
I have a whole new level of respect for his chops as an actor now.
Yeah, well, there you go.
God.
Not necessarily his decision-making skills, mind you, but...
Well, I mean, you know, they had Jeremy Irons in that movie, too, I mean...
Yeah, Daddy needed a new house somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were marveling, Bailey had sent me whoever was in... I guess it was, what is that, Dungeon Siege Master something?
Oh,
Jason Statham. Yeah, wasn't that a Uwe Boll film as well?
Oh, don't talk to me about the Uwe Boll.
Yes, Uwe Boll made that one. He's got another one coming soon, I think.
We're stunned. We're perpetually stunned at the level of talent that he manages to get into his films, even though by this point there's really not anybody who can, you know, be surprised by the fact that they're crap, so...
No, nobody. Oh, he does have another one coming out. Already been released in Germany? What?
Well, of course, because there was actually an article that I read on Uwe Boll where the whole reason he's able to... the whole reason he's able to create these films is because it's essentially the producers over and over again.
Yeah, it's a tax dodge.
Yeah, they actually make money for producing shitty, terrible films. So...
Yeah,
you know, I think
the
we
surprise
the
talent.
Wrong country.
The surprise talent in the new flick, well, nobody terribly surprising. A lot of people who haven't done a lot of work lately. He's got Dave Foley, though. That'll be entertaining. And Vern Troyer playing in his adaptation of Postal, a video game that had no plot.
Bummer.
Yeah, we definitely nuked the wrong country.
Between Hasselhoff and Boll, I think you have a compelling case. You should take it straight to the UN.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord.
I know.
All right.
We should have not. Never mind. Go ahead. I was trying for something, then. No, never mind.
I know. I feel like that all the time. So we go from.
Oh, shit, it's spreading.
Yeah, I know.
Ah!
All right, well. We go from a remembrance of Gygax to a lamb blasting of Uwe Boll, but then again, it's not like anybody needs an excuse to wind up there and do that. So
yeah,
I guess
not at all,
bastard.
So let's move on then and see if there's any reaction to the Oscars, because you know they've had that since we were
There's a reaction. I'm not sure what it meant, but...
It sounded like a pterodactyl giving birth backwards.
I was trying for a yawn. Obviously, it didn't work.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah.
The Oscars. Yay, they had them, I guess.
I couldn't really
tell you what the results were, by and large.
Coen Brothers got their Oscar, finally.
Yeah, it was about time. Though, I honestly think if they were going to get one, they've made better... Well, I don't know. I'll let that go. That's a fine enough argument.
Did you see No Country?
Well, no, I was thinking more of films they had already made that I thought probably should have earned one. Not so much this one wasn't worthy, but that they really should have had one already, and if they did, I don't know that they would have won this year.
Yeah, Miller's Crossing.
Miller's Crossing would be an excellent... Hell, I think they could have done it for Oh Brother.
Or even Blood Simple.
Yeah. So it was definitely about time they got their share. I just always kind of get, I don't know, weird when I suspect they're actually giving them an Oscar for some either lifetime achievement or something they actually overlooked previously.
Well, that happens a lot on especially the acting awards, as we've discussed previously.
Yeah.
Butterfield 8, anybody?
What?
What?
Well, Elizabeth Taylor. She'd almost died at during the filming of Cleopatra. So, kind of make up for that, they awarded her an Oscar for this god awful movie she made called Butterfield 8, where she played a prostitute.
Sorry.
It's like the classic example of
giving
somebody an Oscar for not to die.
Well, it's not even that. It's just it's like most recent one that blew my mind was who played Nick Nolte's dad in Affliction. I'll look it up.
Wasn't Chris Carpenter or Chris Cooper? No. Oh yeah, I know what you mean. I can't think of.
I'm looking it up. But my God, that was over 10 years ago. I can't deal. Anyway, James Coburn. Terrible film. Kind of pointless. And really pissed me off because it kind of blew whatever a chance it had at being, you know, symbolic or meaningful or anything. And if I remember correctly, I think Coburn won for that.
Yeah, he did. The only one he won.
Yeah, so it was a thing where it was like, oh.
But I think it also was in a pretty weak band of people running.
Yeah.
I think any other year this year they would have given it to Holbrook or Johnny Depp would have gotten Oscars.
I think as far as the Oscars went for this year, I don't think there were any real surprises. It's pretty much like we discussed. Bardem was best supporting. Day-Lewis is actor.
Well, I do think, though, that the two actress ones, I mean, I was hoping that Cotillard would win for Vivian Rose, but I didn't think they'd actually really give it to her. And Tilda Swinton's got a really cool body of work as an artist, but she's so out there, I didn't think they'd give her it. I can't believe, you know, that one really threw me. But for the most part, I think, though, the cool thing about the Oscars was when Jon Stewart brought the girl back out from Once and said, "No, wait a minute, she didn't get to give her speech." I thought that was pretty classy and pretty cool.
Yeah, that was actually the producers. I mean, Jon Stewart got her, but the producers like, "Yeah, we need to get her back because we'll never hear the end of this."
Yeah, but that was actually pretty cool.
Oh no, yeah, it was cool.
And the execution of it was that's the thing. It didn't look clunky or silly or anything.
No.
But yeah, it was weird. Nobody said anything really funny. Nobody said anything really controversial. It was just kind of a all-around kind of boring.
Well, you know what it is? I think a lot of it was because of the writer's strike. It felt like it was put together last minute.
Yeah.
Because no one really knew. I mean, even the, even the advertisement, because no one really knew there was going to be one, so there wasn't really a lot of stuff about it.
Yeah.
So, I think that was part of the problem. It's just, you know, until recently, we didn't know we were going to have an Oscar.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, instead of inviting Hannah Montana, they should have had Amy Winehouse and Jack Nicholson giving away an Oscar. That would
I
be great.
Don't think you can have that much in one night.
Oh, actually, that was the thing, is that you'd mentioned that before. And the reason that they brought Hannah Montana out to do a presentation is because that her little, what was it, IMAX or whatever it is, Cyrus / Montana double bill film that they put out or something, concert film, is actually, from what I understand, made money. So...
Oh, yeah.
Terrifying.
Oh, yeah. Well, you never discount the silliness of teenage girls.
Having been a teenage boy, I can pretty much say that I would never, ever discount the silliness of teenage girls.
Well, no, because, you know, when you hear about all the stuff like the scalping of how much the tickets are going for, it's like, it blows your mind.
Mm-hmm.
This is the daughter of the achy breaky guy. That's just... Whew. I mean, what else is there?
I don't know.
In 5 years, she'll be nowhere, and we'll still be fine. Don't
yeah.
worry.
I'm not concerned.
I hope so. I really hope that she ends up in rehab and, like... vomit.
She'll be like Debbie Gibson in 5 years, where she's doing, like, Broadway or something. So, don't worry. We'll be fine.
Be nice, Scott. You don't have to watch it.
No.
You don't have to watch it.
And I can't even believe I'm saying this, you know what the great thing is about the Hannah Montana IMAX movie?
Tell me.
The great thing is that it opened... I don't know how they open IMAX theater things normally, but it opened the same week as the U2 IMAX movie, and it killed it.
Oh, you know what?
And that was kind of cool.
Beautiful.
That is beautiful. Because wasn't it it was the U2 3D IMAX that was supposed to change the way concert films were made, right?
But they said that when they did the Stones in IMAX, and it didn't do it. So you'd think they would have figured that out by now.
Yeah, but it's Bono, so...
Yeah.
That is...
Yeah,
that...
nothing really changes the fact that there's, what, a couple hundred IMAX theaters in the country tops?
Yeah.
Sorry, you're not going to revolutionize any damn thing. What I could see... You've got the same distribution as drive-ins.
No, that actually, you know what? That just based on that alone, she can make as many movies as she wants. Yeah. That puts her in my okay column.
Because she crushed a U2 concert film?
You know,
dude, it doesn't take much to make me happy. I've got to take my joys where I can.
You have to look at her career. And the way it started and the way it is now. She managed to skillfully go from being Hannah Montana to going back to being Miley Cyrus without missing a step and without having any kind of career consequences. Unlike Garth Brooks, who went from Garth Brooks to Chris Gaines and it just killed him, you know. And
well, he was Chris Gaines for, what, like a month?
But still, Capitol put a lot of money in that. And
that really attests to the stupidity of record companies.
Yeah.
We have trod well in the past.
But, I mean, the Disney spin machine probably didn't help. But it's interesting to see just how completely crafted and manufactured and executed that whole process of her career was from the start all the way to now. It was kind of interesting.
Yeah, and actually that is one good thing about her being Billy Ray Cyrus' daughter, is we do have evidence that she wasn't, like, that grown. She's not, like, some sort of weird, like,
It's a trick. Disney paid Cyrus to use his name. They crank these things out in the basement under the Magic Kingdom.
No,
anybody.
I think Cyrus had to go to the incubator, the Disney incubator, you know, and pop out a kid, and that's...
Ooh, they may want to check the batch that they made Britney Spears out of.
Well, I just think it will be a nice change of pace to see a kid who is basically an entertainer for other kids, and then from what we can tell, you know, have a parent on hand or somebody on hand to keep them from going completely apeshit and then, you know, not completely crater themselves. I mean, we got enough of those to amuse ourselves with, as the case might be. So
yeah, and that may be the best thing regarding her parentage is she's got a one-hit wonder for a dad. He knows fame and its fickleness pretty well, I would imagine.
Yeah. So
keep that in.
I suppose.
Yeah.
You're not letting me be bitter at all, are you?
Well, there's plenty to be bitter about. I mean, it's not like we're going to run out of stuff to be bitter about.
Seriously, man, the Olsen twins still haven't showed up in porn.
No, but one of them killed Heath Ledger, so.
Oh, Jesus. Allegedly. Wait, that's not even allegedly. Never mind.
Sorry.
No, you're not.
Oh, God. Hey, well, you know, what was it? Lindsay Lohan finally did her semi-nude spread, no pun intended.
Oh, I love Bill Maher's reaction to it.
What was that?
Just because the alcohol you drink goes straight to your tits does not make you Marilyn Monroe.
Damn.
I got to confess, I found the whole idea a little cheesy and presumptuous, but it's really probably not the worst celebrity. Who was the one that presumed to be Audrey Hepburn a few years ago?
Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Yes. Oh my God.
Ooh.
That took testicles I wouldn't lay claim to. The whole Lohan Monroe thing doesn't even rate on the same scale.
Yeah, I would just like, you know, some of these celebrities to just come up as zombies and just like, I want to talk to you.
Well, celebrity zombies is always a winner in my book.
Yeah. That would be Kate Moss.
Although Clive Barker tried to turn it into a book and that didn't work.
Yeah, well, poor Clive. Bad books, a bad video game. He's not exactly batting 1,000 lately.
Anyway. All right, so shall we move on to some awards that are actually of merit, perhaps?
Well, consider that while we talk about ours.
Exactly.
Ba-dum-bum.
So the Chazzies, finally the nominations for the Chazzies are out because we have been dealing with flu-pocalypse and shit. So those are out. Votes are due in Friday.
Is that mine in?
Yep, Scott's eager beaver on that.
Fuck up.
No pun intended. So, reactions to the nominations. I know that, Rob, you were saying that it was terrifyingly well-rounded for us.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't mean that to be like a surprise because we have, you know, a pretty broad base of people with interesting things, but so often we're so way out in left field for some of it, and then some of it is also equally as far out into right field, but it's pretty centered this time. It's kind of interesting. And I dare to say with nominating things like Once and Juno alongside Sweeney Todd and There Will Be Blood, it shows that there's a certain brief glimpse of warmness and charm to everything, and then all of a sudden we kill it dead. So I'm kind of seeing that as a roaming theme of everything, because we have these kind of categories that are like, oh, look, that's nice, that's nice, that's nice, and then it gets dark, which is really great.
It's pretty much our studio pitch, isn't it, if they ever decide to make the movie of the site?
Oh, Jesus, no.
Siege is already working on that, actually.
It's happy, it's happy, it's happy, we kill it. That's... Yes, yeah, Siege's treatment I'm enjoying greatly, and it's bits and pieces so far that I...
Yes.
What's that?
Yeah. Siege has
nothing,
been right.
You don't need to know anything about it.
Yeah, you're fine. Go back to bed.
No one tells me anything.
Yeah, well, it's for your own good.
So what I don't know, I don't have to testify to later?
Exactly. But yeah, I know what you're talking about, like the best original song. Here's two from the movie Once, and here's two from the movie Enchanted. How sweet. And then
yeah.
You turn around and there's best Kicksplode.
Yeah, and there's some excellent, excellent options in Kicksplode this year.
Yes. Some of the categories can be very hard for me to decide in.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I mean, you look at the one for me that's killing me is if you look at the best graphic novel collection, because because any year I would say I Shall Destroy All the Civilized Planets would be the number one book of the year, just because it's Stardust the Super Wizard going around and shrinking people to the size of their heads and blotting out the sun and crazy shit like that. But then you've got the Collected Dream of a Rarebit Fiend that the guy self-published out of, I want to say it's out of Germany. I think that's right. Just this huge fucking tome that is unbelievably gorgeous, and you're like, oh, damn it! So.
Yeah, it's actually the first year in a while that the comics categories have had more than, oh, I don't know, one option I was likely to vote for. It's been a pretty good year for doc-friendly comics. There is only one Matt Fraction, and Doc is his prophet.
Yes. But, yes, and I think Warren made the cut for best writer again, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, so we had his usual spot open. It's just kind of like, I hardly even bother to tally up his nomination votes anymore. It's just like,
we could just name the category after him then, and if someone other than him would have to win it every year.
Yeah, the Uncle Warren Award for best comic writer goes to.
Oh, look, Uncle Warren.
Hey, tell him, Iggy. Probably get a kick out of it.
Yes, well, I've given up on trying to make people aware of the fact that we think they're cool, because they don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, I barely care, and I run the awards, so.
Now, do we, when somebody wins these, do we, like, send them off to their agent or something, or do we just post on the site and that's it?
Well, it depends. I mean, the first year we actually, this is a sad tale. The first year we actually tried to send a certificate and some coffee to as many people as we could figure out how to send it to that we could. And we didn't hear back from anybody, which was kind of like, well, shit, you could have at least said thanks for the coffee, even if you didn't care about the award. So then we kind of scaled back the next year to, no, we're just going to send some to people that we think might care. And we didn't hear back from any of them. So we just said, okay, fuck it. So if we can get a hold of people, then we'll email them and let them know.
Yeah.
And in some cases, the response is pretty good. I mean, the guys for Freakonomics posted us on their blog saying, hey, these guys think we're cool. Isn't that cool? When Penn won for Bullshit for Best Actor TV Comedy, I sent that off to his agent, who came back and said, thanks very much. So we have seen some responses to it.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yes.
But, it's actually kind of fun. And, you know, I think Doc alluded to it earlier. There's so much stuff in so many of the categories that you're just like, can I pick two? And it's been a while since we've done this, and I've gone through stuff and said, wow, I want to pick two or three, you know. Some of these I can't find a bad apple in any of them, you know, that doesn't, you know, fit some sort of desire. It's like, oh, yeah, that should win, too, and then that. Yeah, it's a really solid list of stuff this year. So everyone vote, goddammit.
Well, like I said, I'm done.
Yeah, well, there you go. I'll vote Friday morning.
Yeah.
After the email comes from Widget going, nobody voted.
Last day to vote.
I said vote, goddammit.
And I'm bad because, you know, oh yeah, the nominations are due. So then I frantically spend the whole morning at work making the nominations and then sending them in. It's like, boy, you know, it's like the research paper you write the night before class.
yeah, that was bad this year. I was like, what have I read? It's like, I have to look back at all the stuff like I've actually like read and stuff, and I'm like, was that done this year? Oh, shit. So, yeah, I'm there with you on that.
Yeah, that's the worst, is when I see somebody's nominated something, and I go, oh, no, not eligible.
Yeah,
I didn't even bother with the books this year. I don't think I read anything published this century last year, so.
Yeah, and I read stuff that's so bizarrely obscure that no one else would care, so.
Well, that's the other thing. I'm like, I can put a nom down, and nobody else will have even heard of it.
It's never stopped us before.
I suppose that's true.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, half the stuff you've mentioned, Rob, I've heard about.
Yeah, but I would expect that. So, you know, but I also try to not go way on a limb. If I don't know a category, I just don't vote for it. Just
oh yeah,
you know.
Unfortunately, yeah, that's me in the music category.
Really?
I have no musical. I have like.
Are you still crying about that Wham breakup?
They didn't wake him up before they went Wham.
Oh, God.
Don't make me laugh. That hurts. God.
No, my musical tastes are very, very.
So next year we'll send you a special chassis that has like the Captain and Tennille on it.
Oh, it's not that bad.
And then like the Carpenters. Or,
no, yeah. Oh please.
Yeah.
Scott D presents Muskrat Love. All
it's got,
favorites.
You know Kurt Cobain died, right?
His wife killed him. Oh wait.
Oh.
I may be getting that mixed up.
And Billy Corgan. Yeah.
Oh God.
But they didn't kill Heath Ledger. That was the Olsen twins.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting. We should start a pool to see which episode of Law and Order they feature that on.
That probably would have already happened if not for the writer's strike.
But getting back to the list, yeah, it's really solid and interesting. And I think that even categories where I didn't read anything in the list, I'm like, wow, I may want to, like this thing about Lindbergh and the best nonfiction.
Yes, that was mine.
I may actually want to read that, living in the city where Lindbergh's like everywhere. But
yeah, he was a freaky dude.
Yes. You know, someone actually stole all the Charles Lindbergh medals and memorabilia from the St. Louis History Museum like 10 years ago. They broke in the middle of the night and stole like his key to the city, his key to Paris, and the actual trophy that he won for doing the trip, and they stole all of his medals and stuff. They left a note saying, sorry, it looked cool. It's like 10 years ago, they've never found it, so.
They haven't found it?
No.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is, when reading that book, one of the things they talk about is how he was working with this doctor to make, like, artificial organs. And I'm thinking, considering that and his, like, fascist tendencies, it would make a really great alternate history with, you know,
yeah,
like diesel punk cybermen flying through the skies, taking over.
Well, you know, Scott, I'm gonna owe you one because I'm gonna see this band in a couple of weeks called British Sea Power, who are pretty great. But they, besides the fact that they're nuts, they're big like history dorks and they write like songs about historical events. But they're really into Lindbergh, so I'm like gonna give them a copy of that.
Oh,
yeah, and I'll accredit it to you.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah, but. Yeah, that looks really cool, and there's a couple things, like, I forgot, I'm totally kicking myself, I completely forgot about how great the St. Vincent record was, you know, and,
how much you want to bet Tufty's responsible for that?
I don't know.
Which one?
Paris is Burning.
Oh, that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I nominated that, too.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but yeah, I forgot
that's
how great that record
song.
Was, and I forgot how great that record was, and, I actually forgot about a lot of the stuff with 300 and how cool that was. So, yeah, it was a great year, and I'm glad that a lot of other people put down Eastern Promises for stuff because it was pretty great, too.
Yeah, it's a great fucking movie. I'm just happy that we can have a Best Picture spread that's like, you know, Eastern Promises, There Will Be Blood, and Hot Fuzz. That speaks volumes, too.
And didn't have Transformers.
No. Transformers, I think, was lucky to make Best Kick Explode and Best Effects.
Yeah. Definitely lucky on the first of those two.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the only reason that it didn't do better is probably because it tried to have a plot. And not even a very good one.
Yeah, you really got to get up early in the morning to fuck up a movie about giant robots kicking each other in the face.
Exactly. Seriously, I don't understand.
And they even had a hot chick who knew how to use like power tools. I mean, even with that,
I know.
And the giant robot,
I know.
Yeah.
Damn, Michael Bay. Damn him to hell.
Yeah, well, you used to could trust him, but ever since Pearl Harbor, I think that did something to him. It did something to me. I know, and I've never recovered. So. I saw that in the theater. Jesus Christ.
Maybe the Japanese getting back at us for that.
Who's the guy that he makes movies with? Not Bay, but the other guy.
What, Bruckheimer?
Bruckheimer, yeah. This is your scary Bruckheimer fact of the week.
Yeah.
When you go to the Flannery O'Connor house in Savannah, it's been completely renovated, but apparently they gave them a shitload of money. Like, the Bruckheimers were, because there was a thing in some literary magazine I read where they showed the Bruckheimers, his wife and him, at the opening of this museum, and they interviewed him. He said, oh, her work is so great, blah, 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 and he knew all this stuff about Flannery O'Connor, and then he gave him a shitload of money, and I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? So, yeah.
Well, maybe he's giving to literary things to make up for all the shit that he's done in his time.
Yeah, that could be true. Either that or it's all his wife to make her happy.
Maybe.
But it was still very weird.
That was your scary Bruckheimer fact of the week.
Yeah.
This was in Savannah?
Yeah.
Wow. No, it's just, I used to live there when I was a kid, so it's like, wow, this is so close to home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, it hits us all close to home. It hits me right here.
And then you'll cough it up in about 5 minutes.
I know, I will. Once I get off the phone and don't have to hold back anymore, I'll just cough up a lung and the scary Bruckheimer fact of the week.
Sorry. I know it's frightening. Well, you can tell there's something going on because you two are coughing and I'm talking about how great Hallie Montana is and then Jerry Bruckheimer. So at this point, I think Scott's the only one looking like he's not ill in some way. Oh, wait a minute. Never mind.
He's just ill in all the usual ways.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's just my typical illness.
I apologize for my complete turn. But I think opening up the categories, too, to things like Doctor Who and Life on Mars and Nevermind the Buzzcocks was pretty cool, too.
Yeah, well, I said, fuck it.
Yeah.
And of course, what's funny is, you see, we open it up, and then all of a sudden, pretty much, the categories are ruled by British television.
Yeah. But
well, we've all abandoned American television years ago, and we had to struggle to find the one or two decent shows every year to nominate.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I didn't even bother with comedy.
No, I didn't either. Well, let me think about that. Did I? I can't remember what I did in previous years.
I think I did one or two, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there were always a couple of things in the Showtime and HBO original series that merited a nod, but
yeah,
that was pretty much it.
Yeah, what was it? We just got done watching the episode of Nevermind the Buzzcocks where you had Simon Amstel hosting with Noel Fielding sitting in for Bill Bailey. On one team you had David Cross, and on the other team you had Jermaine Jackson. So,
wow,
dude, if you are not watching Buzzcocks, then you have no idea. I mean, it's just it's complete and utter anarchy.
It's not on American DVD. It's on download, right?
I don't know what you're talking about, Rob.
Hypothetically,
one could probably find it on download.
Citizens that were not as upright and you know, nice as us.
No, I'm hearing about all of this secondhand. I'm just
that's me. I'm as upright as they come.
Well, I mean, a lot.
More than we needed to know, Scott.
You bastard. Oh, that's painful.
Oh, man.
Oh, hang on. Let me get another Halls. I think I need 3 or 4 more menthol action bits to wipe that from my brain. Oh, God. Well, on that note, I think we should start our slow move to wrap up.
Slouch roughly
around to the to the MP3 player to be reborn. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, has anybody given us any feedback on these yet?
We did get mentioned by the Unique Geek people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Michael Bailey mentioned us on his long box, did he not? I think because we called him out, perhaps.
Yeah.
Well,
there's our
copy.
We need to call more people out.
I think that's a good idea, Doc. We just need to decide who we're going to call out next week.
Yeah.
Somebody with a huge readership, I think.
Yes.
No, because I remember, I know that the Unique Geek was mentioned because John was talking about listening to it, and of course, during the podcast, I kept mentioning Go Testicles.
No, you kept mentioning.
Yeah,
that's what I kept mentioning.
Yeah, the rest of us were involved in meaningful and significant dialogue, and you were trying to turn the thing into like.
Wait! You're talking about how good Miley Cyrus is. No, I'm
talking about how much better her movie is than Bono's.
Yes, which and you know, between between Bono and even maybe, you
Hitler.
Know.
Stalin?
I was going to go with Dungeons and Dragons, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, during that I was good.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right, so yes. So please send all feedback to info@needcoffee.com if you're listening to this.
And hate mail.
And hate mail, whatever. We take it all. So, all right. So, Scott, what's your recommendation as we slouch towards the end of this nonsense?
Well, because of the DVD release, I picked up the trades to DC New Frontier.
Ah, okay.
And enjoyed them mightily. The DVD movie, okay. But this week, I believe it's this week, they're releasing DVD, DC New Frontier Unclassified or something like that. So I think that's going to be my recommendation for this week.
What, the book Unclassified or whatever it is?
Yeah, it's a one-shot that is being written by Darwin Cook. And it's,
okay.
But yeah, that looks interesting, so I'm picking that up, so that's my recommendation.
All right, Doc, what have you got?
Man, I advise people go pick up some funny-shaped dice and find some friends. It's a good weekend for it. Barring that, game releases this week are thin as hail. But
did anything come
is,
out last week while we were dark? Is something we missed last week, perhaps? Or
There were some things. I'll go with this. This week's release is Bully, which made a big splash on the PS2 last year, year before last. Has been revamped and remastered and released on the 360 and the Wii to trigger another storm of protests, which is always good for the industry. And is a much more entertaining game than it has any right to be. So, yeah, check that out if you didn't see it the first time around.
Okay. All right, Rob, what have you got?
Music-wise, I've got... These New Puritans, who are from Britain, big shock, and they have a record called Beat Pyramid. It's kind of like The Fall meets Franz Ferdinand. It's kind of poppy. And book-wise, I'm reading this collection of short stories that I picked up just because the cover and the title look cool. It's called Love and Hydrogen by Jim Shepherd. It's a whole collection of short stories, and it's pretty great. He does everything from writing a short story about the creature from the Black Lagoon from the point of view of the creature to a story about two guys on the Hindenburg, and then it blows up, which is, you know, obvious, and then all kinds of just other bizarre sort of sci-fi kind of tinted stories. He does a really cool things with the Mars Attacks trading cards where he reads what the cards were, like card number 32 gives a description of the card and then talks about where he was when he got the card and what it meant and how he screwed somebody to get the next one, you know, stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting, and it's a nice little short read of short stories.
Okay.
Wow. Again, it hits close to home.
Yes.
Well, no, the creature from Black Lagoon was just filmed near here in Wakanda Springs, so.
Yeah, and he just died, too.
Yeah, Ben Chapman, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, the on-land version of him. The underwater version of the creature is still alive, and the last of the great creature actors. So, all right. Well, here's my pick. As I threatened last time, I'm going to go with Legend of the Black Scorpion. And this is out from Dragon Dynasty, which is part of Genius and the Weinstein Company. And the reason we care is because Xi Zhang is in it from Crouching Tiger and Hero and countless other things where she looks incredibly hot and kicks people's asses, which really, what more could you want? And, Doc, here's the really cool thing. It is a two-disc set with a commentary from a foo expert.
Nice.
Hong Kong cinema expert Bay Logan.
Oh, excellent.
So yeah, and there's the disc, too, has got an interview with the director, an interview with Daniel Wu, making of, behind the scenes. It's foo with features.
And that is rare as hell.
Yes, well, that's Dragon Dynasty. They do these things, so... Anyway,
they are good people. They are doing God's work.
Yes, they are. So there is my pick if you want people with swords kicking other people's asses, then...
And really, who doesn't?
I know. So that's what we got. Those are our recommendations. Go forth and sin no more. Does anyone have any parting thoughts, or we'll get the fuck out of here?
That was our shortest wrap-up ever.
I know. It's because Doc and I are fucking exhausted with the plague.
It's a very low-key Weekend Justice.
Yeah, and I'm exhausted from shoveling snow, so I apologize.
Yeah, you're buried under, and Scott's exhausted from being Scott, because I know that's got to be tiring.
Yeah, I had my first whiteout today. It was like, it was kind of cool. We had thunder snow. And
that's a great book.
And then, no, I mean, literally.
I went for the typewriting fluid.
Yeah, no, they literally talk about whiteouts and how scary they are, but you literally can't see in front of you because it's white.
I've been there.
Yeah, I'd never been in one. It was pretty cool for about 2 minutes.
Back when I used to snow ski, there was a time when I was in a storm that was pretty bad.
Wait, you used to ski?
Yeah, that's the one sport I'm good at.
Reaction, Scott.
What?
I said I had the exact same reaction when I said that. I was like, wait, he skis?
Well, he's obviously better at it than Sonny Bono.
Oh!
And you know what? I mean, considering you wearing all black, you're really easy to find in case of an avalanche.
Yeah, never been in an avalanche. But no, that is the one sport I'm good at. And what part of the country do I live in? Go figure.
No, that's interesting. Wow. Now that's a trivia question for a panel.
There you go.
Prize.
That's your scary widget walls fact of the week.
Yeah.
I'll have to think of one for me for next show.
Dude, it's so easy to come up with something scary about you.
Goat testicles.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah.
I'm not waiting.
Oh, hey, you know what we haven't talked about?
What's that?
And then we haven't talked about the Indiana Jones trailer yet, what everybody thinks.
I was less excited than I was by the new Iron Man trailer.
Exactly.
Which looks amazing.
I just love the way he delivers the line. You know this is not the weirdest thing you've seen me. You walked in on...
Nice try.
Yeah.
At least he delivered it.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't know. If I know I'm in the vast minority on this, but I, having gone back and watched the three films, especially when they... Which, by the way, they're re-releasing in a new special edition, like in May.
The big draw on that, as far as I'm concerned, is that it comes with a demo of the new Lego Indiana Jones game.
There you go. But in retrospect, the first film is about the only one that I like.
Yeah, me too.
Well, really? Wow. Because I'm usually like greeted with boos and hisses.
I hate the second one. And the third one, the only thing really that I loved about it was Julianne Glover. He was just great. But other than that...
I like Sean Connery. I thought Sean Connery was really good, but...
For him well, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, he did the best he could. Well, I mean, he's Sean Connery. He doesn't need a lot of help.
Yeah, I know.
But no, I'm with you. And the second one just went way too dark. And the third one just got way too... I don't know. It reminds me a lot of... Because when Pirates first came out, the first Pirates, it was such a fun adventure flick that it was like the first really fun adventure flick that you could just watch over and over and over again since Raiders. Because Raiders doesn't get old. You know, you can just watch Raiders over and over again, and you don't care because it's just that good. And just like with Pirates, they went and made sequels, and they just kind of forgot what it was they were doing.
It's like, you know, with the sequels, it's like, well, we have to have this and this and this, you know, this joke and this plot point.
Yeah.
And you lose some of the spontaneity when you just had, you know, let's just do something.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll be the contrary voice on them. I mean, I love Raiders. I think it's probably the best of the three, but I actually like the second one more than the third and more than most. At least that I've talked to. I think because I read a lot of pulp, like classic 30s, 40s adventure fiction type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the plot of Temple of Doom is like a real straight up pulp story plot. It's got, you know, dark assassin cults, it's got jungles, it's got pretty much all the right elements. But I think you're right, I think it went dark, which was fine by me, but wasn't what the rest of the audience was after. that makes sense?
Yeah.
And then they, I think they overcorrected with the third one, and went too far back the other way.
Right.
So Raiders has got some pretty dark moments in it.
They killed the monkey.
Well, yeah, they killed the monkey. The whole sequence when he thinks Marion's dead, and you know he's just wasted in a bar somewhere, preparing to shoot Belloc in the face.
And speaking of faces, that's all pretty intense.
Well, yeah. I mean, that between melting Nazis, a guy you pushed into a prop blade, and a drunken, despondent Jones, that's some pretty grim moments.
Yeah, but see, to me, that fits a lot better than, like, whipping children and having your hero get whipped as well. I mean, it was just like, dag, what is that about?
Yeah, I would say if there's sort of a, if I could go and say, here, correct this one thing to
yeah,
make
that would...
too flawless, it's not that sequence exists, it's that it drags.
Yeah, it just... It,
too much of it.
Yeah, I mean...
torture porn.
Yeah, you only need a couple minutes of thuggies pushing little kids around. You know, you can hit Indy with a whip a couple of times just because he's a hero and that shit happens. And then get on with the punching things in the face.
Yeah.
But it's a fairly protracted sequence.
Yeah, as opposed to, or even if you cut away with the implication being is you don't know how long it went on.
Right.
It's like, you know, we didn't need to see all of it, but...
Yeah, we didn't watch him torture Han Solo in Empire either, I mean...
Yeah, and yet you don't have to. I mean, you cut away and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
But that all being said, I think I would be fine with it if it went back more towards the first one and was just a fun adventure movie.
Yeah.
Which I think it may be. I mean, I really like how they brought back Marion Ravenwood. That, I don't know, I mean, that seems like they are really trying to get back to the original spirit by bringing back her and also sort of, I like the way they refer back to, like, Area 51 where they're probably going to run into, like, the Ark and all that. I don't know, I mean, I'm still looking forward to it. I admit there are reservations, but...
And I admit that, just like you said, you watched the Iron Man trailer and you're like, fucking yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I can
Whereas
say
watch...
it. It's the role he was born to play.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know how much of it's actual film soundtrack and how much of it's just trailer soundtrack. They have put together some killer tunes in a minute long trailer for that.
Yeah, they really fit it well.
And they've already pretty much shown me the moment that's going to have me out of my seat cheering in the theater at the very end of that trailer. When he dodges the tank around and turns around and kind of looks content. And it's interesting that you can convey that kind of any kind of emotion with absolutely no facial expressions, but he turns around and looks at the thing like, really, seriously? You were going to try to kill me with that? And then blows it up, sort of contemptuously, which I thought was kind of cool. But yeah, that pretty much got the inner 12-year-old on his feet. So I'm ready for that to hit the theaters.
Yep. All right. Well, there. Now we feel better. We feel like we've actually given people their money's worth, which, considering that they paid shit to listen to this, then
we couldn't go out with a 5-minute wrap up. We had
no,
to
we could. I, you know, it felt wrong. Now I feel complete.
Thank you. I try.
Yeah.
Anyway, hopefully I feel better.
Yes. Well, I'm gonna go. I've been sucking
like
on Hall's cough drops the whole time. Now I'm gonna go have some actual food.
You sound like people that have left the Creation Con.
Oh, that hurts. All right,
Weekend Justice League Volume 3. Gygax is dead and we don't feel so good ourselves.
Yeah, there you have it. All right.
I'm feeling fine.
Give it time.
We'll get to work on that. All right, say goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
And we're out. Oh, God. I'm so fucking tired.
I don't blame you. I'm aching. Well, at least nobody can actually smell the call, because I smell like Ben Gay. You probably smell like Halls. Yeah.
I don't want to know what Scott smells like.
Go testicle. Sorry.
Please tell me you're still recording.
Oh, it records till I hang up.
Okay, yeah. Good. We got that then.
Oh, yes, we got it.
Oh, good.